Hi, this is Josh Cook. Thank you for downloading the North Jackson Church of Christ sermon audio file. If you have any questions or would like to contact us, check out our website at northjacksonchurchofchrist.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in our worship service. You're always welcome at North Jackson Church of Christ.
Jeff, Adam, and Randy, thank you to all who are leading us this evening in our service. Thank you, and especially to all who are present tonight, whose interest is in the study of the Bible and things that are spiritual. It's so good to see you. It's so good to be able to study the Bible with you. And what a blessing it is to be able to close this day, this Lord's Day, with yet another opportunity to worship God. I want to begin with some really good news. Everett Scott was baptized into Christ last week, Monday night, after the gospel meeting. I just learned that this morning after services, but I'm so very happy and proud of Everett. Everett, if you will, please stand. I think most people know you, but some may not know him. He's this good-looking fella here to my right. So very thankful for his family, his two older brothers, Graham and Campbell, and his wonderful parents, Chad and Ramonda. Everett, welcome. We love you very much, and we're very, very proud of your decision. Speaking of Everett and speaking of his family, the truth is God loves families. Whether it's a family of many, a family of two, or a family of one. But why is it so very important that we remember from time to time that God loves singles too? Let's think about that. A few weeks ago, we had the singles and young professionals in our home on a Wednesday night for dinner before services. Many of them I knew. I'd had some of them as students at Freed Hardeman, but I got to know them a little bit better, and I got to be around them a little bit more, and more importantly, I got to hear them around the table as they talked, and I understood a little bit better about what it means to be single, to be a young professional, to be out there in the world on your own and trying to make it on your own and trying to make ends meet on your own. I thought about what a wonderful group of young people this truly is. And I also thought about the great potential that was there and how that potential had been overlooked or underrated. I hope that these young professionals don't think like one young professional I heard about who responded to a member of the church who was discussing something with him, and his response was, "You people just don't understand us singles." And I guess there's some truth to that. It seems like everything that we do around here involves families. Family this and family that. And we don't often zero in on singles and young professionals. I looked at our announcement sheet this morning, and I noticed that there are several opportunities here for singles. For example, the card ministry. Anyone can do that. The devotional at Regency. Anyone can do that. Any male Christian can do that. The Lads to Leaders program. Singles can be involved in that too. The youth activities, the ICU snacks, the pantry needs, help wanted, driving the bus. Chris White would like to meet you. But I counted at least 7 opportunities for singles and young adults to be involved in the work of the Lord's church here. That's one of the things I love about North Jackson. If you want to work, there are plenty of opportunities to do that. I noticed that Steve and Heather Young are hosting the tweens in their home after services tonight, and Randy and Angie Highsmith are hosting the young adults and young professionals and singles in their home next Sunday night after services. So there are a couple of things that involve families, but for the most part, singles can be involved in any one of these great ministries. The truth is, about half the people in this country that are 18 years or older are unmarried. There are as many unmarried people or adults in this country as there are married people in this country. And it is true that unmarried Americans head more than 51 million households. And since 2005, according to the census, unmarried households became the majority of all U.S. households, and that has held true now for 14 years. Translation, there are more people who are unmarried than there are married in this country. And there are more unmarried households than there are married households. Someone once described marriage like this, and I guess it's true in some sense. Marriage is like flies buzzing around a screen door in the summer. All those on the outside want to get in, and all those on the inside want to get out. So marriage may not be all that it's cracked up to be, but it seems like a lot of people in the church, too, emphasize the importance of marriage. There are all kinds of singles in this congregation and in the Lord's church. There are those who are divorced, widowed, not yet married, single by choice, single parents spiritually. In other words, they do the yeoman's work of spiritually trying to rear their child or children. They don't have the help of the other parent, the kind of help that they need. A preacher's wife is even a single worship parent. And then you have a single spouse who comes to church, who faithfully attends services, but his or her spouse does not. Many times, I think singles or this group of people may be tempted to feel like they're second-class citizens in the Lord's kingdom. I remember Kathy's dad saying to me on more than one occasion, because he was divorced and scripturally so and scripturally remarried, but that he wasn't allowed to do anything in services in a public way in the congregation that they attended when Kathy grew up. He said, I feel like a second-class citizen in the kingdom. That's sad. Those elders would later apologize to him, but the damage was done. I hope that's not the way our singles feel, because the truth is, God loves singles too. He loves families, but he loves all families, whether many or just two or just one. Think with me about a number of things this evening as we consider the fact that God loves singles too. First of all, have you ever thought about the singles that are in the Bible and the significance that they played in the plan of God's redemption? I think of Elijah, the Tishbite, the prophet, the great prophet of fire that we talked about at length. He never married, as far as we know. He did a great work for the Lord. He was the voice of the Lord for so many years. He was that voice in the wilderness that was crying out for the Lord. I think about Elisha, who was his protege, who never married either, but spent his entire adult life apparently working with Elijah and then picked up his mantle literally and carried on his great work. We talked about him as well. And then Jeremiah, who preached his heart out, who never had a single convert, and who was told he could not get married. I don't know if he wanted to get married, if that's something he longed to do, or maybe he envisioned himself being married and having several children, but that wasn't to be. The Lord wanted him to remain single, and so single he was, and he preached his heart out, and he stood and watched as his people were carried off into Babylonian captivity, and he wept. And he would forever be known as the weeping prophet, but as he wept alone. Other than the presence of the Lord, there was no one else to stand with Jeremiah, but stand he did. And Daniel, who served kings and who survived the lion's den, who dreamed great, impossible dreams, dreams that would come to fruition because of the providence of God, but Daniel never married. I think of John the Baptizer, the one who plowed the way for Jesus. Many people have described John as the one who plowed the ground where Jesus could cast a seed. But John devoted his whole life, what life he had. His life was cut short, of course, when he was beheaded by Herod. But he spent his life serving the Lord. Never married, never had any children. I think of the great Apostle Paul, who wrote the words in 1 Corinthians 7 that were just read a moment ago by Jeff, where Paul talked about the single life and how one can be undistracted and undivided in his or her service to the Lord. Well, Paul was a living example of that, wasn't he? He never married. Lydia may have been married, but I think when Paul meets her in Acts 16, she's not married then. She's a widow, perhaps. But she still served the Lord with great fervor. And of all the single people who ever lived to serve God, who never married, who never had any children, who gave his entire life, even in death, to serving God, we're reminded of our Savior, Jesus Christ. I've often wondered what kind of husband would Jesus have made. I've often wondered what kind of father would he have been. Maybe in my feeble mind, I'm thinking that if Jesus had been married, he would be the great example for all of us regarding marriage. Or if he were married and had children, he would be the perfect example of what a godly father ought to look like. But that wasn't in the plans of God. I don't always understand the plans of God. But looking back on it, hindsight being 20/20, we know what God was doing. And Jesus' life would be cut short by a cross at the tender age of 33. Many men in Jesus' time did not even marry until they were 40. So there are singles in the Bible who accomplished a great deal, and this is just a brief list. The list could be longer. Now, in the passage that was read for us, think with me about this text and the context. The passage that Jeff read for us indicates that there are two types of people here that Paul is considering, the single and the married. When he mentions the virgin in verse 34, he's referencing a maiden. He's talking about someone who's unmarried. So there are two types of people here, and it is the single person who does not have his or her allegiance divided. He or she can give his or her complete obedience to the Lord and please the Lord. But someone who's married must juggle not only a relationship with the Lord, but a relationship with one's spouse and perhaps relationship with one's children. And so you see here, there is a challenge involved, and there is a commitment made here. There's a sacrifice on the part of someone who's married. It isn't easy. It isn't always easy to be married. Sometimes it can be very difficult. It's not easy to be single either. But you see that in both cases, there are blessings and there are challenges. If you'll notice a little bit later in verse 35, when Paul says, what he's saying to them, I'm saying for your own good or your own profit, not that I may put a leash on you. In other words, I'm not trying to tell you what you need to do or what you don't need to do. But what I want you to know is I don't want you to serve the Lord with distraction. I want that service to the Lord to be without distraction. Well, let me tell you, marriage is a distraction. And marriage with the right person is a wonderful distraction. It's a great, sweet distraction. With the wrong person, it's a terrible distraction. And so it is not easy. And what makes this so difficult is what was going on in the time that Paul wrote these very words. Look at verse 26 with me. This is one of the reasons that Paul said what he said here in this passage about the single and the married. Verse 26, I suppose, therefore, that this is good because of the present distress, that it is good for a man to remain as he is. Are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be loosed. Are you loosed from a wife? Do not seek a wife. But even if you do marry, you have not sinned. And if a virgin or maiden marries, she has not sinned. Nevertheless, such will have trouble in the flesh, but I would spare you. And so marriage has its own challenges, separate and apart from what Paul's talking about here, because what Paul is talking about is persecution and how persecution of Christians and persecution of the church in Corinth would make it difficult for two married people to remain faithful to the Lord. And especially if one of them is a Christian and the other isn't, it'll be even more complicated. That's why in chapter 7, verses 1 and 2, Paul says what he says, and it's rather strange. He says, verse 1, "Now concerning the things of which you wrote to me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman, that is, not to be married." And that seems to be the very opposite of what you read in the beginning in Genesis 2:18, that when man was alone, God said it wasn't good for man to be alone, and he created a woman for him, a companion suitable for him. But here's Paul who is saying, that's not a good thing, not at this time. "Nevertheless," verse 2, "because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband." And so if you are in a relationship, in a marriage, then by all means remain in that marriage. Don't get out of that marriage or commitment. But understand this, it isn't going to be a cakewalk. It's going to be more difficult. If you were single, it would be just a little easier. And so that's why Paul is accentuating in this chapter the virtues or the blessings of being single, which sounds rather odd or strange to us, doesn't it? But you see, that's our bias, because we believe everyone should be married. And everyone's happy when they're married. And everyone should have children, and they're happy when they have them. We know better, don't we? That's not always the case, is it? The divorce rate in this country is still 1 out of 2. Every marriage will end in divorce. And the reason there are more unmarried people in households than there are married people in households is because many young people have given up on marriage altogether. They choose to live together instead of getting married. The relationship of husband and wife is one that requires a great deal of commitment. Notice in verses 3 and 4, "Let the husband render to his wife the affection due her, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority or power over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise the husband does not have authority or power over his own body, but the wife does." So you give up your identity, it seems. You give up your singleness to become married. And with the right person, again, it's great. With the wrong person, it can be a horrible, horrible life, a very difficult life, even more so. And so in the passage that was read for us, in its context, Paul is telling us there are great blessings and opportunities for those who are single. And I want to look at a few of those. But before I do, given this dynamic of singles in the Lord's church and in this congregation here, what can we do? How can we reach out? How can we be of greater service to them? The program here, the ministry here, is tremendous. Gary Beecham, a longtime youth minister, and now counselor, wrote a book entitled "God Loves Singles Too." I stole that title for this sermon. I read a great deal of that book. It's an excellent book. But Beecham started a very modest singles ministry in the congregation he served. He started out with a handful of young adults, young professionals and singles. When they had been at it for about 4 years, they had 150 singles, young adults, young professionals in that single one ministry. That's tremendous. What that shows you is the potential, the untapped potential that's there, and the great blessings and the great opportunities not afforded always to married people that single people have. Let me give you these 5 suggestions. These are not original with me. Nothing of this is original with me. But out of my study, let me boil it down to these 5. Number 1, we need to include singles and young adults in social as well as spiritual things. We encourage them to be involved in services and to be involved in spiritual exercises, but we need to remember their social lives. They need us too. And we need to invite them into our homes, and we need to invite them out to eat, and we need to invite them into activities in which we're involved, in which many others are involved, but they need to be not only involved spiritually, but also socially. I am a horrible single parent. I am not a good single spouse. When Kathy is gone and out of town and I'm on my own, it's disastrous. I can't find the kitchen when she's there. When she's gone, I never walk through there. I'm so depressed. I'm so lonely. I'm so sad. And I can't operate. And I almost come to a grinding halt. And she calls me and asks about me, and I have to lie and tell her I'm fine, because if I told her how I really felt, she would feel guilty, and I don't want her to feel guilty. This goes on a lot in our marriage. Maybe it does in yours too. It's never fun being alone, is it? It's never fun being left out. It's never fun having to fend for yourself. So we need to include them. We need to strive not to pressure them. The truth is, not everyone has to get married. It may be better that someone remains single. I have many friends who've never married. And I can tell you, from talking with them, they feel like that they are blessed and that they have a greater opportunity. And they're very happy with the fact that they're single and they're not married. So not everyone has to get married. Those who choose to get married need to get married. That's fine. You find the right one, the one you want to spend the rest of your life with, the one that you love, the one that you like. Not just love, but like, and like to be around. Go for it. But the truth is, we don't need to pressure them. We don't need to always be talking about marriage or trying to set them up with someone, being a matchmaker. Now, if they want to be matched up, if they're asking us to be matchmakers and we can help in some small way, then by all means, we should do it. We can help if they want that help. But if it's unsolicited help, my feeling is they're not going to really appreciate that. Number three, encourage them in their walk with the Lord. It's not easy to walk in the light, is it? And it's not easy when you're doing it on your own and you don't have that encouragement of a helpmeet or that support system of a spouse. Seek them out. We don't need to overlook them. And so many times we do. We are like heat-seeking missiles. We go after families and other families because we're families. And many times we overlook them and we don't seek them out. And I'll tell you the truth. Sometimes I don't think we know what to say. We don't know what to do. We don't really have to say anything. We don't have to really do anything other than just be and be with them and include them, but not single them out. But not overlook them either. And then we need to set a good example before them, really before everyone. But I'm thinking about those of us who are married, those of us who have children, and those of us who enjoy a family setting. We need to set before them an example. And the truth is, we are their family. We are their extended family. And we need to remember them and set before them the best example that we can. So singles, let me close with this. You have so much potential and so much great good that you can accomplish. We don't need to waste that opportunity. In singleness, here are some thoughts, some suggestions, some encouragement. Number one, we need to realize that we're not the only one. That there are others around us who are single for whatever reason. As I said, they may be divorced or widowed or maybe simply by choice. But look around us. There are others who are single. We need to keep our eyes focused on Jesus. He is the author and finisher of our faith, according to Hebrews 12, verse 2. And he was single and he did it on his own. With the help of God, of course, but he did it without the help or aid of a spouse or a family. We need to put our eyes squarely on him, concentrate on him, and we need to take our eyes off of ourselves. We need to remove ourselves from the center of our lives. When we're tempted to self-pity or to loneliness, we need to understand that we're not the center of the universe, that God is, and our focus needs to be on him. If we want to be happy in heaven, and there's no marriage in heaven, then from where will our happiness come? Or from whom will our happiness come? The truth is, it comes from the very same source that it comes from tonight, and that's Jesus. And so it's Paul, who was single, who says in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 24, we don't need to be seeking our own welfare, but we need to be seeking the well-being of others. Number four, we need to stay keenly involved in the Lord's work. It's Paul, again, in 1 Corinthians 15, 58, who says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, immovable, unbounding, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And so I take from that yes, we're to stick with it and never quit or give out or give up. But it'll pay off whether we get married or not. In the end, all that matters is heaven. We need to develop close relationships with our spiritual family. We're not strangers or aliens, but we're members of a household or a family. Ephesians 2, verse 19. We need many times to be father or mother to many of the children in our congregation, a mentor to our young people, and someone who helps families with their children. We need to spend time with married Christians because we need that strength, that encouragement. But we also need to spend time with single Christians because they know what it's like to be single. So we need to stay involved and develop these close ties within the church. And this is what I like about our program here, because married people are having them in their homes. And we're able to be with them and be somewhat of a parent to them, a surrogate parent, if you will, an encouragement to them. But they're around their friends, others who are single, and they build each other up. It's amazing to listen to them talk. We need to appreciate the blessings of being single. And that's what Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 7, 32 through 35. We need to avoid trading marital distractions for other distractions. Marriage can be a distraction. It can be something that takes our focus off of the Lord and off the work of the Lord and put it perhaps too much on our marriage or too much on our family, too much on our children. I have heard single adults tell me that they know of friends who are also singles or young professionals who are so involved in video games, so distracted by social media, that they're not spending any time working in the Lord's church. We can say yes to spontaneity as someone who's single. When you're married, spontaneity is lacking. It's just not there. You have too many responsibilities, especially with your children. But when you're single, you can say yes to spontaneity. And you can do something on the spur of the moment. And when you're single, you can do radical, time-consuming things that married people just can't do. Their time is too divided. But as a single person, we can devote a great deal of time and energy and effort to, for example, mission work. We need to trust in God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, Proverbs 3, 5, verse says, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your paths. I was taking Katie's car, our daughter, to the garage to have the oil changed. And as I got in the car, there were a number of post-it notes all over the place. And the one that I saw on the rearview mirror was Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. And Katie had been through a great struggle, and she'd been in the wilderness for a while. And she'd been looking for someone, and she couldn't find anyone. And she was discouraged. And we didn't seem to be able to help her. But the Lord helped her. And she found the church. She found a congregation like this one. And thank God for this congregation. Because somehow, some way, it rubbed off on her in a way that I didn't know or anticipate. But she found her way. And I just remember reading those words and weeping. Because she was giving the Lord her anxiety, her worry, her concern. Trust in God. Learn and embrace contentment. Paul said, I've learned in whatever state I am, therewith to be content. Philippians 4:11, he was single, remember. We need to pray regularly, pray without ceasing. We probably don't pray enough. And sometimes, whether married or single, we get so busy with life that we don't stop long enough to pray. And we need to commit our lives to the Lord, whether single or married. Whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, do all to the glory of God. Even if our marital status changes, our contentment and usefulness to God should not. While you wait, someone once wrote, hope in Jesus more than marriage. Just a few suggestions, not only for the congregation, but for all of us. Sarah Winchester is a name that you perhaps recognize. Her husband, Oliver Winchester, is the man who invented the Winchester rifle, the famed rifle that won the West. But when he died, Sarah was greatly concerned. Oh, thank you, Jeremy. Thank you. Sarah Winchester, when he died, worried about her soul, her husband's departed soul, because that rifle that he invented had caused the death of so many Indians. And so she worried about the soul of her husband after it left this world. And she worried that in the world to come, the souls of Indians would take him. And she worried about her own soul because those Indians that her husband had been a part of killing might come after her. And she worried about her fortune, the fortune that her husband left for her. And so she was so worried that she turned to mediums, to spirits. She didn't turn to the Lord. She turned to mediums and spirits and seances, and they told her, yes, yes, you need to placate the spirits. And yes, you need to make them comfortable now because you will need them in the world to come. And so what she did, she set out to build a mansion. And so on 6 acres of land, she hired 22 carpenters, and they built her a mansion of 160 rooms. And these rooms would be a place where these spirits that roamed this earth at that time could find comfort, and in the world to come would remember her and be kind to her and kind to her husband. And so the mansion began. 38 years later, she squandered her entire fortune on the project. It ended up with 47 chimneys, secret passageways, stairs that led to nowhere. It was a designed home that made absolutely no sense. Today, outside of San Francisco, you can visit the Winchester Mystery House. Had she only turned to the Lord, she would have found the answers. She would not have wasted her life, wasted her time, and wasted her fortune. Now what is she left with? For us, whether single or married, in all of our trials, in all of our struggles, in all of our difficulties in this life, the key is to give it all to the Master Builder, Jesus Christ. And this evening, that's what we need to do if we're not Christians or if we need to be restored. Whatever your need may be, regardless of your status, single or married, if you've not yet obeyed the gospel or need to be restored, we plead and pray that you'll come while together we stand and sing.